I believe this song is really like a sermon that we have sung. If we were in the matter, what we have sung, then we see that it's something very precious. And we know, name above every name, wherein is all salvation. And this is for us the precious and glorious. For others, this name is very much mocked and scoffed at and scorned. But for his own, it's a name which is above every name. And I want to say even more than that. We received this name. We are his. And you know, if one scorns him and his name, then we are also scorned. And if we are scorned, then one scorns also him. That's how it is. But praise and thanks, name above every name, wherein is all salvation. And another songwriter sings, if all the other names one day will fade, the name of Jesus remains forever. Oh, this is wonderful. Now the people may say what they like. We cannot do otherwise. We are his. We are his possession and bear his wonderful name. Jesus is also the physician of the sick, and not only then, but also today. He didn't change yet. To me was given a sad news today that our precious brother Slavek in Czechoslovakia, he fell seriously ill, and also his daughter Marie is not well, and also Sister Becker is not feeling well. They all ask for prayer. And I believe that probably now in this hour, with their thoughts and also with their hearts, they are here with us. And maybe many others who are sick and afflicted, who didn't give up hope yet. All of us, we should not give up. But we know he is able to help. He is the great physician. He is above everything. All things are possible for him. And therefore, we want to exalt his name. Before we do that, let us read a word of God from the Gospel of John, from chapter 6, from verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, Isaiah 54, verse 13, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he who is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. In those days, our Lord has spoken these words of life, and the people murmured about that what he said. Dear precious brothers and sisters, what do we today? We don't have to address others. We must address ourselves. Tonight, are we willing to believe the word of our God tonight? Are we willing to accept it? Our Lord Jesus says, I am the bread which came down from heaven. I want to say, He has really given us the living bread in these days. Do we murmur about it? Do we want to murmur? I believe we have no reason to murmur, but we have a reason to worship and thanksgiving. Oh, precious brothers and sisters, them in those days, it might have been strange to them, but they were humanly and fleshly minded. But let us not be humanly and fleshly minded, but let us be spiritually minded and recognize that God speaks with us in these days. And if we reject the words, then we are just the same as in those days. They started to murmur, but our Lord did not make empty words, but He has given the words of life. And He said here, He that believeth has eternal life. Do we want eternal life? Then let us believe with all our hearts what He has to say to us. Blessed be His wonderful name. Let us stand up to pray together and also bring the petitions before God. Heavenly Father, we thank You from the bottom of our hearts that also tonight we can be gathered here in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise and glorify Your grace. We thank You, Lord, that You have come, that You are the living bread. Lord, You give us food in our days, that by the power of this food we can walk in this dark valley of the earth. Lord, we worship You, and we know, Lord, You didn't change yet. You are still the great physician who can help all who look up to You. Lord, we lay before You those who asked for prayer and all those who are lonely and sad and sorrowful. Lord, You are able to fill their hearts. You are able to bless them. You are able to help. You can touch them, Lord. Also, we want to touch You by faith tonight. And we ask You, continue to speak with us. We don't want to murmur about Your speaking, but we want to rejoice, Lord, and we want to thank You. In Jesus' name, we ask for Your blessing. Take away all disturbing things from our midst, from our hearts, from our thoughts, Lord. My God, bless us, Lord, and give my brother strength to bring Your word, which You laid upon his heart. Worship and honor to Your wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Only those who come to Him, He changes. Not with all, but everything with them who come to Him. And if everything has been changed, then also the verse from 1 Corinthians 15 will find fulfillment, in which it is written, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. If we already have sung the song, He changes everything, why should we then not also read the scripture to it, which we, as a promise of God, carry in us? The last, what He will change, this will be our mortal, decrepit body. And then we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a wonderful promise we have, which he has given us in his word by his grace. Most certainly, every one of us will have different things upon his heart, pondering them before God, laying them before him. I wished we could always leave them there where they belong, namely under the cross before the Lord, who can change all things. And yet, all of us we bear, and no one can exclude himself. Although, if sometimes it seems to the outward as if some would stand above all things, as if nothing would hit them, as if they would have nothing to bear or to overcome. Every man, if he's a believer, he is put into a spiritual battle, and the enemy will not cause as many difficulties to them who are ordained to see the glory of God. All the others, he will probably play the music that they dance accordingly, but to them who escaped him forever, they will have to feel the consequences. But at the end, everything will be worth it. And we don't look to the middle, not to the beginning, but we have a goal before us. And this is the glory of God, which was prepared for us. I already, on Sunday in Zurich, and on Wednesday night here, I briefly reported of that, what I experienced on my last journey. And you know, for a proclaimer of the word, there is nothing more nice than that people hold fast to that what is being preached. As Paul said then, hold fast to it, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. And I sometimes said it, I can do without any reward in glory. My reward shall be therein that the reward of the Lord, that all the redeemed from this generation are ready when the Lord comes. I don't need any other reward than that, that we together, on that day when the Lord comes, behold his face and are taken up from this earth into glory. But there were days or weeks of joy, of tears, of blessing, which we experienced with brethren. You all know Australia is a continent for itself. Distances of a couple of thousand kilometers from here to there. But everywhere there are precious souls who do not stagger, but who hold fast to the word of the Lord. And that's what matters to us, and most certainly God, that we abide in his word. It becomes more and more important to us, greater and more precious, that we abide in the grace of God, abide in the word of God, abide in the love of God, abide in the church of God, in the will of God, that God comes to his full right with all of us now at the end. I have to extend greetings of all these brothers and sisters whom I visited, and I can assure you, not only here, but also there, I repeatedly heard, we remember you daily in our prayers. And also this means very much to me. People who pray for me, it will be hard for them to speak about me. And people who speak about me, it will be hard for them to pray for me. Maybe one can fool others, but not oneself and God. One has to face these realities. But there's so much positive that we can report. People are still being saved, delivered, healed, blessed. People are still being led into all the truth. And many times, those who are invited are not those who come, but others are added, whom the Lord then saves and blesses, and to whom he reveals himself. I probably said it already when that one brother in the last church in Australia, in Queensland, in Mackay, he welcomed me, and just with a proper handshake, as politicians do it after elections, really with all his heart, and said, "Welcome, God's man of the hour." And you know, then the heart drops a bit lower, and I waved aside. But then I really thought about it. We are the people of God of this hour. We are the people whom God addressed, whom he laid out, to whom he opened the eyes, to whom he made known his word, revealed his name and his will. This we cannot deny, and this we don't want to deny. This we want to testify for the glory of God, for it's right, it's the truth. And the great therein is that the Lord will keep us in his word until the end. I have a hard time to believe that a person is saved today and tomorrow he's lost, and then again he's saved and then again lost. I have a hard time to believe that. I can believe what the Lord has said. He who believes on him who sent me has crossed from death into life. And if this took place, then we have eternal life. And don't come into judgment, but recognize that the Lord, our Redeemer, has taken the judgment for the redeemed on himself. I can't believe either that a person is today in the truth and tomorrow in error. Today he believes and tomorrow not. I can't believe that too. I can believe that we are led from clarity to clarity. But I can't believe that we are led from the truth into error, from error into the wrong, and from the wrong into the right, and that this can be such a circle. In this I cannot believe. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth, and only those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. That's how it is written in my Bible. In yours also? 100%. The Spirit of God leads always into the truth. Our Lord said in the Gospel of John 14 and also 16, He shall receive of mine and shall reveal it unto you. He will show you things to come. But the things to come must be that what is already shown to us in the Word of God. God does not promise fairy tales. He reveals His will, which was made known already in His Word. The things must all be straightforward and verifiable, and therefore we need the Word of the Lord. Now, just briefly, the journey from Australia, it went for about 24 hours to New Zealand. And you know, they are just brothers. They are afraid. When they speak with Brother Frank, then half of the world gets knowledge of it. And then they are embarrassed. And also this, we just take as it comes. On one hand, we feel pain about it. On the other hand, we know that the same happened with our Lord. Some hated Him with all their heart. The others loved Him with all their heart. To some He meant nothing. To others He meant everything. Some were offended at what He said, and for the others, that what He said was spiritual food. Why should it be different today? Paul says, to some we are a savor of life to life, to the others a savor of death to death. What can you change about it? And then we come to know from the Holy Scripture, he who walks in the light does not stumble. And so we just take everything as God gives it. But right there, I experienced it, that I was not picked up from the airport. At the moment, a bit disappointed. This everybody can imagine. You come into a country and you stand there like a little boy. You could feel embarrassed. But I became still for a moment and remained standing. I looked to the right and to the left and in front of me, and nobody was there. I just wanted to say, Lord, why did I come at all? But before I could do that, somebody comes and says, are you Brother Frank? I said, yes. He said, we don't know each other, but I have arranged a meeting. We will drive straight from the airport to the meeting. And we had, within this short time, three wonderful meetings. Those who knew me and didn't fetch me, they nevertheless announced that I come. And those who didn't know me, but who came to know of it, they came to make use of this occasion. And so, God has opened again very new doors. And in the one meeting, there was even a female reporter who makes both at the same time, press and radio. And she heard everything. And she then asked, is this really true? I said, of course it's true. But then all the churches should come to know of it. And then she introduced herself. I said, you can take care of that the doors are opened here. And she said, I will do everything. If you can come again, that our country hears what you have to say. This is how God can work. In the moment it looked like as the journey was in vain, as it's over, suddenly new doors open, and the Lord will have His way until the end. As Brother Branham said then, when Dr. Davis said to him, "To whom do you want to preach with your missing education?" And there Brother Branham said simply, "If God sends me, then He will also have people to whom I will speak." And so it is. If we have a divine message and carry it, then God will have people who were ordained before the foundation of the world to hear this divine message, to believe it, and to thank the Lord for it. That's how the ways of God are. Many testimonies could be given. The last one of last night. We had, as all know, had yesterday a meeting in Belgium, probably in the region of Liège, maybe a suburb. And we were there for the first time, Brother and Sister Kupfer and me. And we thank our brethren for the reception which we received there. You all know our Brother Gilles Song, who always gives us vegetables and groceries and so forth. But right before the service started was some kind of an obstacle, and we just looked at each other and didn't know how things will go on. But what we then experienced there, this Brother Kupfer should tell you. It was such a victory and such a blessing. Sometimes it is so that the enemy sallies forth because he knows that God intends to bless. But then it means to remain still, before the Lord, and to see what kind of solution, what kind of salvation, and what kind of blessing God is able to give when it seems as if everything goes under or wrong. Right then, we see and recognize in what kind of way God intervenes. And we will see quite a number of these people here at the end of the year. I believe Brother Kupfer told me there were around 3 who came directly after the service, and they said, "We have heard the message a long time ago, but we didn't understand it. Today, God has given us clarity. Today, we heard it from the word of the Lord. We read it." And so, we were grateful. Also, for last night, the Lord had His way. Now, we are here, gathered in the name of the Lord. Not always to hear a powerful sermon, sometimes to draw nigh to God, to have a new experience with God. We have heard so much the Word of God. The people in Australia told me, "Brother Frank, it is 6 years ago since you were here for the last time." And when this Oma then took me by my hands and said, "You are the only one who is left of all who preaches the Word of God in truth." And she started to weep. You can imagine what went on in my heart. And I'm not judging, but all of them have deviated. And I write it in the circular letter. If one today speaks of the message, then one has to ask what message it is and whose message it is. It's not been for a long time the original Word of God, as the word seed which we heard everywhere. Our own opinions, own interpretations have been brought in. But thanks be to God that there are people who who have made a direct experience with God and who by the Spirit of God have the connection to the Word of God. And everything else disturbs them. It is strange to them. And the connection which God creates is always to the Word of God. And for this, I'm also grateful that we, without making efforts, without trouble, we can abide in the Word of God by the grace of God. No fantasy here, no own interpretation there. Being still, believing what God has said, bearing the promised word within until the moment where it finds fulfillment. All prophets prophesied, and you all know, they could not witness it, what they have spoken. But then it's written the small sentence, when the time was fulfilled, God sent His Son. In the moment when God's hour comes, when the time is fulfilled, then it happens without us having to worry about it. Let us think on the people of Israel, on the gathering since the days of Nebuchadnezzar. They went to and fro, from country to country, yes, through many troubles. When the time was fulfilled, God called them, and He said, or it is written, Jeremiah 31, He who scattered Israel gathers them again. What was it? God promised that it would take place at the end of days, and it must take place, for the scripture cannot be broken. As far as I understood God, He has put the promises for this time upon the lampstand. He has introduced us through the prophetic message into His plan of salvation. But now He wants to place us into this plan of salvation. And this is what matters now. Not new interpretations, not enthusiasm here or there, but all who were introduced into the Word of God, who were introduced into the plan of God, they shall now be placed into this plan of God, coming to a rest in God, taking their place, and be firmly established in the truth. Everything has its time. Brother Branham had his time, Paul had his, Isaiah his, and this is our time. Our hour, our message, our opportunity, which God has given to us now. There were times which were for others. This is your and my time. This is our hour. And the Lord would say the same today, what He said then to the multitude. Oh, if you would have known in this day the things which belong to thy peace. This is our time, and for this we are grateful to God. Let us not forget this thought. First, the introducing into the plan of God, the setting forth of that, what God intends to do, and then being placed to have part in that what God is doing. Have we not emphasized it? That every promise is yes and amen. First, it is a promise. And when the time comes in which this promise shall become reality, then God takes care for it. For how long was it written that a voice will cry in the wilderness. In the prophet Isaiah 40, verse 3, the people could read it for more than 800 years. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord comes to Zechariah, gives the promise that a man will be born who will walk before the Lord to prepare his way, namely in the spirit and in the power of Elijah, to make ready a people for the Lord. First, a promise written, then the promise announced, and then its realization. Suddenly, Isaiah 40 verse 3 could not only be read, it could be seen, it could be heard. Hallelujah! Praise God! How was it with our Lord and Savior since Genesis 3 verse 15 of the seed of the woman which would bruise the head of the old serpent, Satan? Suddenly, the Word was reality. It became flesh. The announcement came. You found grace before God. The one who shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Most High. What was it? First a promise. And when the hour of fulfillment came, God had a mouth to announce this promise, and it became a reality. Let us come straight to our days, to our time. It is still written, whether it's Malachi 4, whether it's Acts 3, verse 20 and 21, whether it's Matthew 17, 11, or Luke 17, 30, whatever scriptures it might be, which we could list, we recognized that these words of God are not only written, but they found their fulfillment, that everything should be restored. Now, after we recognized that this promise found fulfillment in him who was used by God as a mouthpiece, now we, who we were spoken to whom the message applies, who have heard the promises of God and who also believe them, now our time is come. Now our hour is here, so that God is glorified. Not only that we can point back and say, God had a mighty prophet. Just imagine, one would have always pointed back to John and would not have understood that the plan of salvation proceeded. God has a way with the church. And whoever was really ordained by God, he will see the past, the present, and the future things revealed by the Spirit of God and be able to place them correctly. God cannot be mistaken. Every revelation which comes from God is correct, and every word of God is true. And all who are of the truth hear the voice of God. And the voice of God is and remains His holy and precious word. We are bound to it forever. And because we are bound to it forever, namely to the unmistakable word of God, we are forever set free from everything what people brought against the word, or what they will still bring. We have been loosed from everything. That is the other side of the coin. He who is bound to that, what people interpreted and brought is loosed from that what God has spoken and has written. He who is bound to that what God has spoken and let it be written down is loosed from everything what people have said and written of their own. This is forever true. And now we just have to find out where we have our spiritual home. Oh, I want to believe it with all of us together, that we are bound to God and God's Word and have been set free from all traditions, in fact, from all. And I think that most of this has happened already. And should there have remained some leftovers of the old leaven, so we by no means want to throw people out, but leaving it up to God to take the old leaven out of the people. There are also two things. Some always want to grab the people and settle accounts with them, instead with a thing which is still in the people. And with this, not you and not I can settle the account. This we have to leave to God, because what we do to one another cannot stand before God. That what God can do through His Word, through the blood and through the Spirit in us, this will stand forever. So, we have to leave it to God, what He has reserved for Himself. Our task is only therein to preach the Word. The rest we leave to God. One cannot just say something to the people. It could be too early. Probably in that moment they are not even able to receive it. There were still two or three scriptures which I want to read in addition to that, what Brother Rus already read from the Gospel of John. Here in chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, some very powerful statements are written. In verse 3 we read, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Let us stop here at this verse. Everything is grounded on revelation, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Therein is eternal life. But what if we don't know him? If we interpret and guess, if we repeat what the Roman Church has taught and others have taken over, without revelation of the Spirit, what is then? Therein is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. How wonderful that we may know that there is one true God, and that this one true God overshadowed the Virgin Mary, creating in her the blood cell from which Jesus Christ came forth after the flesh. And then, as being sent by God, as the Son of Man, he came on the scene, and he was not only a man, he was God and man at the same time. After the body, he was a man. After the Spirit, he was God. And we may hear today, agree with John, and say, yes, we have known thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. As God, if he would have remained in his Godhead, he could not have died. If he had only been a man, then death would have swallowed him up and it would have been the end of it. He was God and man, after the body a man, so that he could die. After the Spirit he was God, so that he could overcome Satan, death and hell, and rose on the third day victoriously. Death, where is thy sting? Hell, where is thy victory? But therein is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and whom thou hast sent, Jesus Christ. And then it continues in verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Which name has he revealed? The name Jesus. Hallowed be thy name. What name? Not just any name, but the name which was given for our salvation, for our bliss. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What a wonderful gospel, a full salvation which was given to us. I have revealed thy name unto the men whom thou hast given me out of the world. All others keep puzzling, but if we may be part of them who were chosen by God before the foundation of the world, then this word applies to us tonight and in all the future. I have revealed thy name. What name? What name? I have revealed thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Hallelujah. If the name of God was revealed to us, and we became a possession of the Lord, then we will also keep his word, and this in a fine and good heart. I have revealed thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Precious child of God, this is a sure sign. Eternal life is not therein that we belong to a church, that we claim to be believers. Eternal life is therein that we know the only true God who wanted to reconcile mankind with himself and therefore had to be manifested in the shape of a man in order to place us back into the divine stand, us who we were in a human shape. To us he then revealed his name, the name of Jesus, which means everything to us. Thine they were, past tense, thine they were, in the word of God. Before the foundation of the world, everything was decided already. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, which was already in the plan of God. Before the foundation of the world, it was ordained to die for us. We, as the redeemed, our names were written into the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. Because God has foreseen us, and therefore he ordained us to see his glory and to be transformed into the image of his Son. What a grace, what a privilege, that we not just look at all these things. And I want to ask here, very goal-orientated, have we only read these things? Do we just hear them? Or have we experienced them personally? Can we say, O God, we have recognized you, the only true God. We see the connection which had to be established so that redemption and forgiveness could be given to us. We see that he, a bit lower than the angels. He was submitted for the sake of suffering death, but then he was crowned with glory. As Yahweh, he could not die because he was in a spiritual body. As Jesus, he died, but he was the same I am, who could say, before Abraham was, I am. But there he was not as son, there he was as Melchizedek, as Lord, as Yahweh, in the New Testament, as the Son of God, manifested after the Spirit of glory, to make us sons and daughters of God. This God didn't leave to the theologians that they argue about it. This God revealed to us so that we have part in it. This is the mystery of what it is about here. I have revealed thy name unto them. Also to this we can say Amen. You have revealed thy name unto us. For you have chosen us before the foundation of the world. In verse 9 we read, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. What a grace! They are thine, and they remain thine. We belong to God, not only for time, but also for eternity. Here, in the same chapter, in verse 14, we read, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I have given them thy word. Hallelujah. I have revealed thy name unto them. I have given them thy word. They belonged to you, and you have given them to me. It was the reward for his pain of Calvary. The price was paid, and our Lord said, nobody can come to me except the Father draws him first, and all whom God has foreseen and chosen, he draws them to himself, and they come to Jesus Christ, our Lord. I have given them thy word. Yes, this we may humbly confess. Lord, you have given us your word. You have revealed unto us this wonderful name, and for this we are grateful. I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou gavest me out of the world. Also this word we must understand correctly. There are people in this world who just don't want to be saved. They resist with everything what is in them to accept God's offer of grace. God will not force anyone. It has to be received. And all who come to him, they will receive him. And all who receive him, to them he gave power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. It's like a chain reaction, not just one scripture here and the other there, but all of the word of God. As the Lord has given it to us, so we may believe and accept it. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We are in this world, and we are humans like all the others. This the prophets were also. And God has given them the testimony and said, ye are gods. After the body, they were humans, sometimes with weaknesses and afflictions. After the spirit, they were placed into the divine stand for the sake of the word that they received. Here, our Lord says, I have given them thy word. Firstly, the word came to the prophets. Then it became reality. Then the apostles preached it. The same word came to us. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it has become a living revelation to us. I have given them thy word. Have we received it? Certainly. Amen. God has not withheld it from us. He has given it to us. To Abraham he said, How can I hide from you what I intend to do? Probably Genesis 18 verse 17, if I'm correct. How could God hide from us? After all it's written, the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret unto his servants the prophets. And then this mystery which was revealed unto them is told to the people of God. And then they carry this word in a fine and good heart. They have no mixing machine where everything is mixed up again, where people bring their own opinions. And recently, that brother from the USA told me, for 20 years we didn't make any public relations. That means something like, we didn't go to the public, we didn't care for it, we didn't bring this matter to the public, but now we will do it. We don't need public relations. We don't need to glorify a man. Everything what we need is revelation of the Word and of the Spirit of God, revelation of Jesus Christ in these days, so that God can walk forward with us, and that we come from believing unto seeing, not being enthused what was 30 or 40 years ago. We thank God for it. It was necessary. Without that, we would not be here today. We recognize that God has led it in a wonderful way. But now, we have to recognize how we can and must be placed into the will of God in these days. What good would it be to me if I knew that John did his job, that Paul did his job? And let us go into our generation. What good would it be for us if we would know 100% that Brother Branham has fulfilled his commission that was given to him by God? If we mix up all things, adding our own thoughts to it, instead of bringing everything back into the Word of God and letting God speak to us through the Word and through the Spirit, the people give themselves up to people's opinions and are tossed to and fro like a reed in the wind, and they still think to be on the right way. What did Brother Branham once say? He who leaves the Word, he is forsaken by God. God is only in His Word, and as long as we are in His Word, we are in God. And if we go out of His Word, we are in danger, and we go astray. We may think to be wise and to know all the mysteries, but the mystery of God with us is therein, I have given them thy word. I have revealed thy name unto them. I have made known thy will, and they abide in this truth. In this connection is written the well-known word to us. Here in verse 17 it should be, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, not in my truth. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. By this it remains forever. And the Word of God did not remain hidden. It is no more sealed. It's no more closed up. To Daniel was said, seal the book until the end time. Close up what was said. But then many will search in it and wisdom shall increase. God has given grace that His word at the right time was made known and revealed. And this revealed word of prophecy has become a light on our path, and we no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And our Lord said in John, we have read it last Wednesday, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. They bring about divine spiritual life in us. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is the truth. There are people who are ordained to carry the word of truth. And there are people who are ordained to hear the word of truth. And to them we want to number ourselves, not out of arrogance, but humbly in the presence of God. We do not interpret, we wait for the fulfillment of that what God has promised to us. And we don't wait in vain. The Lord who has spoken, the same Lord watches over His word to fulfill it in us who we have believed and received it. Can you all believe it? Our God will not be too late. When the time is fulfilled, it will take place. Listen to verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, who shall believe on me through their word. The Lord prayed for all the children of God, for those who preach the word, and for them who through the preaching of the word come to believe in Him. Not to believe in a prophet, not to believe a man, but to believe the living God who revealed Himself in Jesus Christ. Also today there are sons of the prophet, disciples of the prophet, and not just a few, but there are also such who know who God is and who can place the ministry of the prophet scripturally and who then penetrate to God. The Lord said, I don't pray for these alone, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word. We have come to believe on the Lord through the word, and thus He also prayed for you and for me. He prayed for us. We know that He prayed for Peter, that his faith should not cease, and when he is converted, then he should strengthen his brothers. Then I ask you today, if we were truly converted, then for the reason to strengthen our brothers or not? Did I misunderstand the Lord? To Peter he said, when thou art converted, then strengthen your brethren. For what did we become believers? For what were we converted? To give one another hard time? Or for the reason to bear one another, to strengthen the brethren and to stand in for one another? We have to seriously ask ourselves the question, how is it with our conversion? A true conversion of a child of God places us behind the brother, behind the children of God, and the accuser of the brethren will have no room anymore. Did we understand this? When thou art converted, then strengthen your brethren. And this we all need. We would have thought Peter needs the strengthening. Yes, after the conversion, he could strengthen others. He could encourage others. He could help others. Brothers and sisters, a true conversion is an experience with God. And this experience with God connects us with Him and connects us with one another. And we live for Him and for one another. We stand in for one another and for Him. This belongs to it. I read once again verse 26. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it. Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. And the end of the verse says, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the whole mystery. Not a love, not your love, not human love, which sometimes starts and can be over very soon, but divine love, saving love, redeemer love, forgiving love, reconciling love of God. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Did we understand this? The love of God that was manifested in Jesus Christ shall be in us and will be in us if the name was revealed to us by the Spirit. Then the Spirit of God will be in us, and with it the love of God, which can only be poured out into our hearts by the Spirit of God. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This I wish for myself. This I wish for all of us. And with us, all of God's people, in this time, which was ordained to hear all the words, to hear the promises, to look into God's plan of salvation, and to then be placed into it. People to whom the name was revealed, to whom the word was revealed, them it should be who will also experience the manifestation of the power of God. We hold fast to it, that the Lord has not only revealed his name to us, but that also the power which is in his name must be manifested. What did Peter say then? What do you look at us as if we have done this? This took place in the name of Jesus Christ. Revelation of the word, revelation of the name, revelation of the Spirit, revelation of the mysteries, but then, please, also the manifestation of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. This belongs to it. Let us thank today our God for the incomprehensible privilege that was given to us, that we may belong to them who in these days were introduced into that what God promised to us. And God's promises remain. They never stagger, as a German hymn goes. Jesus sealed with his own blood what he promises in the word. More or less the same is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. For all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ our Lord through us. And so we believe it. Promise, promise. Word, word. Suddenly the word and the promise is a living reality in them who have believed the word of promise for their time. And I assure you today, and I say like Paul, without assuming to be like him, I say it based upon the word of the Lord. Also the last promise that we read at the beginning, that our bodies will be changed, will be fulfilled at the end of this last church age of Laodicea. Death will be swallowed up into victory and we will enter the glory of God. No doubt about it. God has said it. That's how it will take place. We can just say, yes, amen. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Hallelujah. Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, who are we that we may be gathered in your presence to hear your precious and holy word, which becomes more and more precious to us? Dear Lord, we have put our trust neither on us nor on others, but in you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Dear Lord, you have revealed unto us the name of which it is about, the word what it is about, the promises it's about. Beloved Lord, what a grace which we found in your holy presence. We may hear what many never heard, and we may believe, and we will experience what you have promised to us. Beloved Lord, I may believe and know that you will keep your own until the end. Only one, the son of perdition, who was appointed to it, who was born for it, he deviated, but no one else. All who were engraved into your hands, they will be there. Not we hold you, you hold us. Not we have chosen you, you have chosen us. Hallelujah. To your wonderful name, Lord, our hearts run over of praise and thanks. Dear Savior, may we open our mouths and thank you together now for the great privilege to hear your word in purity, in truth and clarity. Lord, we thank you that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish for what you have sent it for. Faithful God, we come here empty, empty, and then you meet us in your word. And what did your prophet say? The highest revelation which exists is the revelation of the word through the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Not where people reveal the thoughts of their heart, but in the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant is open and the word of our God is revealed. There where God speaks with us. Lord, we thank you for it. If we could just tremble in your presence, if we could just take your word so serious and keep it and ponder on it in our hearts. Dear Savior, thank you for the Holy Scripture, the precious word of God, this Bible. Hallelujah. You brought us back to this original word. From all deception, you have taken us out from all error. Protect your people from all new confusion. Be merciful to us for your holy name's sake. You prayed for them who had to carry your word. You prayed for all who would come to believe through the word. Dear Lord, and to them we may also belong. We have come to believe in you through the preaching of the word. Hallelujah. Praise and honor be to you. We could recognize you, the only true God, by revelation. And also Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, whom thou hast sent for our salvation. But you didn't let him fall down from heaven. You overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and you laid into her this cell. Oh my God, that we could see it by revelation. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. O great God in heaven, we thank you with all our hearts for this mighty revelation. Hallelujah. May you bless us and be with us by your grace in the precious and holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And all the people said, Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, great God, we praise you. Lord, we praise your might. Hallelujah. You have opened our eyes. You opened our hearts. And you have given us self for our eyes, so that they can see. Oh, beloved Lord, to you be the worship throughout all eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord, at least for a few moments. Thank the Lord who has done great things. Lord, we thank you together. Hallelujah. Praise God. Receive the worship. Receive the glory for your holy and precious word, which you addressed again to us. Lord, we don't want to murmur. We want to thank you, Lord, for your speaking, O God, in our days, in our time. Lord, if we don't do it, who shall then do it? But Lord, give grace. May you lay the words into our mouths, Lord, which we bring to you. Of our own, we are not able, Lord, not even to open our mouths. If we think what we are, Lord, then we are nothing at all before you. O God, may you smash our own stupid thoughts, which are in your way. Our pride, take everything away out of us, so that you can manifest yourself. My God, you know our hearts. If we think that we are something, but what are we? Dust and ashes. My Lord, we worship you for your precious and holy word, for your mighty speaking. And if we don't say yes to it, then we are lost, Lord. My God. But you give grace. My Jesus. We worship your name. You are the only and true God. You will not always speak, Lord. No. You speak at your time, to your people. And we know that everything will be fulfilled as we heard it. You will take your own, and then the judgment will fall. Praise be to you and thanks be to you, that we may see everything as the truth in your word. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah. O God. Amen.